been in our series of some of Proverbs, and hopefully you guys have been enjoying it so far. Amen. It's such an instructional book. It's such a book of wisdom. And that was one of the first things we talked about, how it is basically a collection of wise sayings from the man, the wisest king on the earth, King Solomon. And if we want to, you know, be wise in any form, then we need to take what the wisest man in the earth has said and apply it to our lives. Amen. And so, like, if there's a good fisherman out there, and he just knows all the spots, and he knows the right bait to use, and he knows where to go and what time to go, don't you want to hook up with that guy, like, whenever you go fishing, right? And so it is in this walk of life. If you want to be the best person that God's created you to be and walk in wisdom, let's glean from one of the wisest men that lived on the earth. His name is Solomon. All right, and so today, I'm not going to lie to you, this passage is a bit tough, and I tried passing it up. I'm like, surely, Lord, you don't want to speak about that, right? Let's speak about something a little bit more easier, make everybody happy and feel good about themselves. I like those messages, right? Anybody like to feel good about yourself after you leave church? You might not feel so good about yourself after you leave church today. I'm just warning you. All right, so these are one of these messages, and so as much as I try to get away from it, I believe the Lord kept leading me back to it, so I'm going to be obedient to what he's speaking this morning. Amen. So if you are a parent out there, if we have any parents, raise your hands. All right, I'm so happy to have my daughters back. Man, they've been gone for 3 weeks. I missed them so much. It's awesome being a parent, right? Now, you know that there are times whenever your kids do something, and requires a certain level of discipline, right? For instance, they spill milk in the kitchen, they crack an egg and drop it on the floor, whatever it may be, that requires a certain level of correction. Yes, they got to be corrected, but you're probably not going to beat them. Certain level of correction, right? So there's some kind of discipline that's going to take place in that moment. But then there are times when they just cross the line, right? Maybe they're disrespectful to a teacher or a parent, or they ridicule someone else, they put someone else down. Well, that is a whole nother level of correction that needs to take place, right? And so it needs to be confronted. And so keep this in mind as we're traversing through these verses in Proverbs, that all sin is offensive to God, and all sin needs to be, we need to ask God to forgive us, but there are just some things that the Lord hates. And so today, that's what we want to talk about, the seven sins that the Lord hates. Very exciting passage, right? I mean, I'm like, God, surely I can skip over this and go somewhere else. But here we are, Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19. It says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Wow. First thing, so the haughty eyes. What is haughty eyes? Does that mean you just have something wrong with your eyes and the Lord's like, man, I really don't like your eyes? It's not what it means. Haughty eyes is a proud look that you uplift yourself above everyone else, that you think that you're somebody, you think you're the man, and that everyone else is inferior to you. It's a proud look. And so one of the very first things that is mentioned is that the Lord hates haughty eyes, or the Lord hates a proud look. You know, if we think about this, this is what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. Before he became Satan, he was Lucifer. And so he began to lift himself up, and the prophet Isaiah writes about it. He says, Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, he says, how you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High, but you are brought down low to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. Notice how many times I was there, and me, and all these different things, trying to equate himself to God. How foolish could he be to think that he is equal to God who created all the stars and all the galaxies? And I don't know if you guys have been seeing like some of the images that are going around on Facebook, how they have this new telescope and they're able to see like the galaxies like in outer space. It is mesmerizing. Then it makes you feel about this small whenever you start thinking about a creative God who spoke all these things into existence. So that is the God we serve, but yet we have Lucifer who is exalting himself and trying to make himself equal to God. There's a man in the Bible, a story about a man in the Bible who tried to do the same thing. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. Now the Lord had used Nebuchadnezzar to bring judgment to Israel because they had fallen into idolatry. And so it was the Lord who handed over Jerusalem and Judea to King Nebuchadnezzar. And it was the Lord that who allowed him to prosper. It was the Lord who made him successful. But Nebuchadnezzar began to think that it was himself. He became prideful. And in Daniel chapter 4, verse 30 to 31, he makes this arrogant statement. He says, "Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of myself?" While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field." The Lord humbled Nebuchadnezzar like that. He made him eat grass like a cow, and gave him birds feathers like a bird. And so, whereas before he was this mighty, prominent king, the Lord says, "You're going to eat like an animal. I'm going to humble you, Nebuchadnezzar." Now, what if the Lord, just being humorous, what if the Lord responded like that to our pride in this day and age, that he gave you feathers like a chicken, right? And he made you walk on the ground like an alligator. I mean, it would be very humbling, right? Whatever you was before is no more. Your image and your reputation is totally gone. And just let you know that the Lord is able to do that. The Lord is able to humble us whenever we become prideful. And the Lord will humble you if you become prideful. Because no one, and I repeat, no one is equal to God. The things that you have in your life and all that you have become in your life, the success, everything comes from the Lord. Your abilities, your talents, your giftings, the fact that you have two arms and two legs and you're able to move came from the Lord. Amen. And so what is man that he should boast in anything? We're nothing. We are nothing without God. And so let that be the thought that guides us and directs us. Whenever we become prideful, we begin to think, you know what? I'm nothing. I'm nothing without God. I'm nothing without God. I mean, he spoke me into existence. He made me out of dirt and put it together. I'm just, let that keep us. Let that help us to be humble in the walk in humility. I like what Charles Spurgeon writes about pride. He says, "Pride is as surely the sign of destruction as the change of mercury in the weather glass and the sign of rain. And far more infallibly so than that, before honor is humility, even as before summer, sweet birds return to sing in our land. Everything hath its prelude. The prelude of destruction is pride, and of honor is humility." And so he's saying, basically, you're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up for destruction whenever you become prideful. Whenever you allow pride to come in your heart, that is the prelude to destruction. Like if you take Algebra 1, you have to take Algebra 1 before you take Algebra 2. Algebra 1 is the prelude to Algebra 2, right? Pride is the prelude to destruction. But humility is the prelude to honor. And so it's backwards, right? If you want to become something great, then you must become a servant of all, is what Jesus would say. Learn to serve others. Learn to put others first before yourself. That will keep you from becoming prideful. The second thing that the Lord hates is a lying tongue. A lying tongue. Again, if you have kids, you've experienced a lying tongue, right? I mean, you hear a glass break in the kitchen, and it just shatters to a million pieces. And you walk in, there's only one person who it could possibly be. And it, what the first words that come out of the mouth is, "It wasn't me. It wasn't me, Dad. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. You're a liar." What you're telling me is that you broke something very valuable because it's a magical glass that just picked itself up and smashed itself into the ground into a million pieces. So now this magical glass is probably worth a lot of money because it's able to do that, and you just smashed it. So we're born. Our natural inclination as human beings is to lie, is to cover it. It wasn't me. It was that person. If you watch Rocket Man, whenever he passes gas, he's like, "It wasn't me, it was Julie," right? Blames it on Julie. Poor Julie, my goodness. Eve blames it on Adam, blames it on Eve. Eve blames it on the devil. "I didn't do it, it wasn't me." The Lord hates a lying tongue. It was you. Admit it, it was you. Confess your sins before the Lord. And he is faithful and just to forgive you from all unrighteousness. Other lies that we see in our society, we see so many different things. You know, our young people, I mean, it's a battleground for our young people. They're being taught, you know, that the earth is just the result of a cosmic accident, basically. They're being taught that, you know, they evolved from apes over a period of 6 million years. They're being taught that you can be whatever gender you want to be. They're being taught that you don't really have a purpose in this life other than to reproduce and keep the species going. And these are all things that you can find, and I was surprised because NASA says this, the Smithsonian, Yale, all these so-called intelligent people, this is what they're pushing down on our young people. Lies. The Bible would say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created male and female. In the beginning, God placed Adam in the garden with a purpose. That's what the Bible would say. But yet, lies are being taught. Lies come to twist and pervert that which God has already established. Satan's been at it from the beginning of time, and he is still at it. He is still up to his old ways. In fact, the Bible would consider him the father of lies. He is not able to speak the truth. In John chapter, we could put this scripture up on the screen. In John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, Jesus is confronting some religious people, and he says, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." You know, I believe why the Lord would say that I hate a lying tongue is because it is the very opposite of who he is. Jesus is truth. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Amen. And so whenever we speak lies to cover up our sin or to make us look good, whatever it is, you have chosen to yield yourself to the devil and to speak of his nature rather than speaking of the nature of God. Amen. And so the Lord says, I hate a lying tongue. And if you battle with lying, ask the Lord to help you. And this is the whole, you know, keep this in mind as we continue through this service. Yes, these sins the Lord hates, but still there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. And we're going to learn this at the end. Amen. But I want to go through the rest of them. The third one, hands that shed innocent blood. My goodness, this year has been a year already. Where hands that have shed innocent blood. I just want to read a few of them. Uvalde, Texas, 22 people killed and 17 injured. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the city of brotherly love, 3 killed, 11 injured. This is all by gun violence. This is this year since May. And I didn't go through the whole list. This is just the ones that kind of stood out. Chattanooga, Tennessee, 2 killed, 12 injured. Highland Park, Illinois, 8 killed, 29 injured. The violence that is going on in America and the violence that is going on here in Houma, Louisiana, is just unacceptable. And I want to say that the Lord hates the hands that shed innocent blood. There are 35 murder cases that are awaiting trial this year between Terrebonne Parish and Lafourche Parish. 35 murder cases that are awaiting trial this year in our own city, in our own backyard. And now I'm sure many of you have heard of this young man, this young two-year-old, who was recently killed by his mother, Ezekiel Harry. I don't even know where to begin with that. All I know is the Lord hates hands that shed innocent blood, and they're going to have to stand before a holy and righteous God and give an account of their life. I also know that if they would repent of their sins, that the Lord would forgive them. And that's the best that we can hope for right now, that they would come to the knowledge of their salvation, that they would come to the knowledge that Jesus loves them even though they're a murderer, even though their hands shed innocent blood, even though they did all these bad, incredible things. If they would confess their sins before the Lord, that the Lord would be faithful and just to forgive them from all unrighteousness. Amen. That's not a popular opinion. But before we start to think and say, well, how can someone do such a thing? Jesus has this incredible perspective. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22, he says, "You have heard that it was said of those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment." Jesus, he looks at the anger that is harbored in someone's heart, and he says, "You are just as guilty as a person who is a murderer." Because it's a heart issue. One person acts out on the anger that's in their heart. Another person holds it in. But the Lord says, "I see the heart, and it's all the same. And I hate it all. I hate the anger. I hate the sin. I hate the murder. I hate it." But we try to justify our sins, right? Say, "But surely the Lord is okay with my sins. He's okay with my anger." But no, the Lord hates it. The Lord hates it all. Sin is sin. So we can look at this woman and say, "Man, my goodness, why would you do this?" But if you're harboring anger in your heart, the Lord would say your heart is just as evil as hers. The good news is there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness. Moving right along. The fourth thing that the Lord hates is a heart that devises wicked plans. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says, "But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet." So this man, Ananias, they sell a piece of property, and it was, while he sold it, it was his to do whatever he wanted to do. But he conspired with his wife. He says, "We're going to cheat the Holy Spirit. We're going to lie to the apostles. We're going to do this. We're going to make plans that are evil, and we're going to fulfill this." And it says that as soon as they gave the money to the apostles, that they fell down dead right there. Instant judgment. God was not playing in the early church. He is making a statement that you're gonna be respectful. You're gonna honor the Lord. You're not gonna lie and try to cheat the Holy Spirit. But how many times have we made plans to do sin? How many times have we made plans to do evil, the evil that is inside my heart? And I have to confess, I'm not proud of this, but again, the Lord was leading me to share this story. Before, you know, this was many years ago. So don't judge me. Please don't judge me. around 2001. I was a young man. I was about 21. I made plans in my heart to do sin or to do evil. I purposed in my heart, I said, you know what? I'm going to go $2 a million. I'm going to buy a pornographic magazine, and I'm going to fulfill the lust of my flesh. It was a plan. It was a wicked plan that I made as a 21-year-old man. I walked in a store, and I seen someone, another brother in Christ, who was there at the store. So I said, well, I'm going to make another plan. I'm going to grab a second magazine that has a race car on it, like remote control cars, and I'm going to cover up the pornographic magazine with that race car. So whenever he asks me what I'm looking at a race car magazine. And I carried out that plan. Again, I'm not proud of that. I asked the Lord to forgive me of that. But it was a evil plan. It was sin that said, you know what? I'm going to fulfill the lust of my flesh. I'm going to make a plan to fulfill sin. And any time that we do that, any time that we plan to sin, the Lord says, I hate that. I hate that you would choose something that is so destructive to your life. Whenever you can choose life, you can choose Christ himself. And he is the giver of life. He is the giver of life. So we cheat ourselves whenever we choose sin, whenever we make plans to sin. And Jesus is like, I am right here. I am able to fulfill your every need. Pick me. Amen. But then the next step is number five. What the Lord also hates is feet that make haste to run to evil. So not only you make evil plans in your heart, but then you carry out those evil plans. You're swift. You're eager to sin. You're eager to go and rebel against the Lord. You know, let's think about our social media posts for a second. You're like, oh, no, Pastor, don't go there, man. But, you know, the second greatest commandment in the Bible is that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But how many times are you quick to post something without thinking how it's going to hurt someone else that you are posting about? Perhaps there's a video of something or some sort of post, whatever it may be, which can ultimately damage a person's reputation. But you don't care. You care about the likes. I want the likes. I want people to like me. I want to be the first one who posted that so that people think of me as something. I want the likes. I don't care how it's going to affect people. And you're quick to act out in that particular sense. You're quick to run to evil. What about gossip? What about gossip? You hear of a juicy story. Man, did you hear this about so-and-so? And you're quick. Before you even know the details of everything, you're quick to spread that gossip. And before you know it, you just ripped apart that person with your mouth. Spreading lies, spreading gossip. The Lord will say he hates feet that make haste to run to evil. I'm going to briefly cover six, a false witness who breathes out lies. We kind of talked about this last week, how there were false witnesses who came and they accused Jesus of blasphemy. It was a lie. They knew the truth. That's the thing that probably it gets me upset is that they knew the truth, but yet they chose to make an innocent man seem guilty and a guilty man seem innocent. And that's what a false witness does. They try to twist their story. And so if there's a person who's been in an accident and they know that they were in the wrong, they know that they did wrong, but they try to twist the story to make themselves look good. Oh, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me playing on the phone that caused the wreck. No, it was them. You know, we're going to blame them. They're a false witness. They're not telling the truth. You're making an innocent person look guilty while making a guilty person look innocent. The Lord says that he hates a false witness. And the last one, which is probably the one that we really need to think about this morning, because we go back to the beginning of this passage, it says there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. So there are seven things total that's listed, and it's believed by scholars this is the abomination they're talking about. One who sows discord among brothers. Among brothers. What does that mean to be a brother? It means that you are in a family. You are in the family of God as a believer, as a child of God. You are in the family of God. We are brothers and we are sisters in Christ. And the Lord would say that he hates it whenever we sow discord amongst ourselves. Whenever we begin to talk bad about another brother or sister in Christ. I'm talking about not just in this room. I'm talking about other churches. I'm talking about churches nationwide, that we are brothers. We have one thing that pulls us together, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are many members in one body, and the Lord has called us to unity. He has called us to be one. And he says, I hate it whenever you speak and you sow discord amongst brothers, amongst family, amongst those whom have you back. You know, young people, I see this, my wife sees it, where you just tear each other down. And y'all quick to like post it on TikTok or the latest social media, whatever it is. Hey, do you see this person? Look at him. Or you sow discord. Hey, I don't like this person. And you begin to share that and you tear them down with your words. The Lord says he hates it. He hates it whenever you sow discord. Because here's the thing. You guys are already in a battle. You're fighting a real enemy. And we are all fighting a real enemy. The devil, our adversary, who is described as a lion who seeks to destroy. Man, he is a liar. He's a deceiver. You've already have to fight this real battle. You need not to fight amongst yourselves. Amen? And in fact, The place that you should feel comfortable, the place that you should feel like you are strengthened is whenever you are among brothers, whenever you are among sisters of like faith. You should be encouraged and not tore down. Let this be a safe place whenever you come into this place, that you are encouraged by one another. Amen. I can't stand it whenever I go to, you know, if I'm in another service and there's always, you know, that group of ladies in the back, you know, just definitely, you hear so-and-so, did you do it? Let's just cut that out. Let's just focus in on worshiping the Lord. Let's focus in on fighting this battle together. Let's put aside discord. The Lord says he hates it. It's an abomination. And trust me whenever I say, as a pastor, I can see why the Lord would hate discord. In fact, whenever I hear that there is discord amongst us, I begin to pray two things. Either that the Lord would change their hearts or that the Lord would remove them. And trust me, the Lord has removed several people from this church because they were sowing discord, because they were running their mouth behind closed, you know, with other people of the church, just running their mouths. And you know what? The Lord says he hates it. He hates it. So whenever Aaron and whoever it was, again, Miriam. And so whenever they begin to talk about the man of God, Moses, they begin to talk about him behind his back. You know what the Lord did to them? He struck them with leprosy. He struck them with leprosy. And so the Lord takes it very serious. And so sowing discord, the Lord hates it, amen? He hates it. And so we want to definitely guard against that. And so if there's anything in your life, if you've been guilty of any one of these sins this morning, again, there's good news for you. The blood of Jesus came, and Jesus came, he came to die for your sins. Whether they're small or great, yeah, your sins might be highly offensive to a God, but the Bible says that if you confess your sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive you from all sins. He will cleanse you and he will make you whole. You can start new. You can start from this day. And from this day forward, you can say, you know what? I'm not going to have a lying tongue anymore. I'm not going to be divisive anymore in the church. I'm not going to talk about other pastors. I'm not going to talk about other members of other churches. I'm not going to talk about them. I'm not going to sow discord. I'm not going to have the same heart as one who sheds innocent blood. I'm not going to harbor anger in my heart. I'm not going to be prideful. I'm not going to think that I'm somebody, that I'm better than you. I'm not going to think that. I'm going to have a heart of humility. And so if you're in this place today and this message spoke to you in a particular way, I would ask that you would examine your hearts right now and say, Lord, if there's anything in my heart, or if I have done any of these things, if I have been quick to sin, if I have made plans to sin and I've carried out those plans, Lord, forgive me. Lord, if I have lied, if I have been a perpetual liar, God, would you forgive me of my sins? I don't know which one that you are wrestling with this morning, but I do believe the word, the Lord gave me this word, and he gave it for someone in this place today. And I want you to know that there is freedom in the name of Jesus. You don't have to be bound by that anymore. I'm not bound by pornography anymore. Amen. You don't have to be bound. There's freedom in the name of Jesus. There's freedom in the name of Jesus. And so right now, we declare freedom over every single person in this place right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, whether it's a lying tongue, whether it's a heart that devises evil plans, Lord, whatever it may be, Lord, we say we are yours and it has no more effect over us. We are a new person in Christ Jesus, created for good works in the name of Jesus. Our old man is passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins. Ask, Lord God, for those of us who have gossiped, who have talked about other people, Lord God, who have sowed discord, Lord, you would forgive us. Lord, give us a heart of love, a heart that is bound in unity, Lord Jesus. God, we give you all the praise and all the glory in this place today. Search our hearts, oh God. We just want to be pure. Lord, we want to live a life that is pleasing unto you. We don't want to have sins in our life, God, that you hate. Lord, we want to be an aroma of sweet worship unto you, O Lord. Search our hearts, O God. Forgive us of our sins. And Lord, you said in your word that you are faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. And that you guys today can know for sure that if you confess your sin, if you laid it down at the cross, the Lord forgives you. The Lord forgives you. It doesn't matter how bad of a sinner you thought you was and that you could not accept his forgiveness. I want you to know that the Lord forgives you. You're made clean. You're made whole. You don't have to carry around the guilt and the burden of sin anymore. You don't have to carry around that shame anymore. You are set free from this day forward in the name of Jesus. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You are free indeed. No more will it bother you. No more will it be a trap to you. No more will it be a temptation to you. I declare that you are free in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for this word. Lord, let us constantly examine our hearts. Let us constantly come before you and that you would search out our hearts and that we would be found pure. Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise in this place. We ask, God, that you would bless your people who have come. Lord, be with them, encourage them, Lord Jesus. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, for the washing away of our sins. We thank you, Lord, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we are yours and we are your people. We love you and we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. And let God's people say, amen.
Encourage you this morning. Go and walk in your freedom. Hug somebody's neck before you leave. And then we'll see you this Wednesday for our Bible studies and our youth group and everything else at 6:30 in Jesus' name.